Listen to my all-time favorite opening lines in a book ever. Perhaps you've heard them before. They're written by my pastor growing up. His name is Mark Buchanan. He writes, "I'm bored, as are many people in church. Bored and also apathetic, passive, testy, lonely, disheartened. We're wary and weary and cranky and sad. It's a long list. There's an enormous gap between the life Jesus offered and the life we're living. We feel it. We see it. We sense that whatever else Jesus came preaching, this can't be what he had in mind. A room full of people nodding to old platitudes, nodding off to old lullabies, perking up to Jonah-like rants, jumping up to split hairs or break company at the smallest provocation. He can't have dreamed a church gorging itself on feeling good and allergic to self-denial. He can't have hoped for a church that was more concerned with itself than the world it inhabits. When Jesus announced the kingdom was at hand, this can't be what he meant. What happened?" You see, we don't begin that way, do we? Bored, apathetic, passive. It's not how we start. We don't set out wary and weary and cranky and sad. Do you remember? Do you remember how your life with Jesus began? Though I may not know the details of your story, I'm willing to guess that I know a good deal about what took place. Your life in Christ began with a fresh movement of his Holy Spirit. And your eyes in that season, they were opened to the deep love of God that is demonstrated through the sacrifice of Jesus. It was a season in life where life eternal, began to well up in you, sprang up in you like a geyser of living water that refreshed your soul. And though the circumstances of your life did not change, everything about you did. There was joy and peace and a hunger for righteousness that you hadn't known before. And there was a passion, this energy that enlivened and emboldened you to step out in faith with acts of love and service. And in that season of your life, you felt drawn to other people. Other people who were not completely like you, but you were drawn to them anyhow because they knew the same Jesus that you did. Your life in Christ began with a fresh movement of the Holy Spirit at work inside of you. When we first meet Jesus, what we lack in maturity in the faith, we make up for in our excitement in the faith. You know that to be true? Have you seen that in somebody who Jesus has grabbed a hold of their life for the first time? Do you remember it in your own story? And you would think that as we mature in our faith, as we grow up in Christ, that the movement of the Spirit would take us to an even greater place, that there would be more passion and more power and more energy and life in the things of God. That there would be more righteousness, more peace, more joy in the Holy Spirit. Yet alas, for many, as years go by, they aren't filled with more, but seemingly less. Rather than growing into a greater depth of the Holy Spirit, we sometimes grow into boredom and apathy and passiveness. I know it to be true because I've lived the journey myself. I've experienced this kind of thing in my journey with Christ. Sometimes our life in Christ begins as a living movement of the Holy Spirit, but over time, it sometimes turns into a stone monument that commemorates a great work of God in days gone by. Individually and collectively, The church has always run the risk of becoming a monument to the Spirit rather than a movement of the Spirit. And I wonder, have you experienced this in your walk with Jesus over the years? This morning, I want to talk about something that is essential to our growth as Christians, something that is vital to maintaining the passion and the power that the Holy Spirit gave us when we first received the grace of Jesus and we committed our lives to Him. Specifically, I want to talk about growing into our spiritual gifts. Our text for this morning is Ephesians chapter 4, verses 7 to 13. And we covered some of this last week. I wanted to circle back because there's much more to say. Ephesians 4, 7 to 13. I actually can't remember what page it is in the Bible in front of you, but it's in there somewhere, close to the end. Ephesians 4, 7 to 13. This is the word of the Lord. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. That's a really confusing part of the text. I'll get to explaining it in a bit. He goes on. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. I'm going to keep reading, actually. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become, in every respect, the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Let's pray. Jesus, in order for us to be the church that you have envisioned for your world, we need your Holy Spirit. There is no word that can make us that other than your word spoken to our hearts by your Spirit. And so I pray in this season of our life together, as the people who are following Jesus here in this place, I pray that in this season of our life together, that your Spirit would fill us afresh in new ways, and that gifts of your Spirit would enliven and embolden us to be the church in every sense of the word. And Lord, where we have baggage in our hearts and in our minds about what church is, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would cut to the heart of the matter. And that by your Spirit, you wouldn't grow an institution, but you would grow a movement of people who are following after you to see the kingdom of heaven come to earth in Jesus' name. Come and preach, Spirit of God. And do a work that I never could. We pray this in your name. Amen. Every person begins their life in Christ with grace. It's this beautiful word that we run into in the scriptures over and over again. Grace. The word in Greek is the word charis. Is there anyone here named Charis? We've got a few charis. We've got a middle name, Charis. It means grace. And grace throughout the scriptures is something that God, out of his loving kindness, gives us, something that we either don't deserve or could not attain for ourselves. For instance, you might be familiar with the story of the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. There, the son is shown grace by his father. He's restored to honor in the family despite dishonoring his family. It's a loving kindness that's extended to the son that he didn't deserve, nor could he attain for himself. It's grace. We always begin our life in Christ with grace. It is a gift of God. And it's what we often call saving grace. Maybe you've heard that term, saving grace. We saw it when we looked at Ephesians 2, verse 8, a number of weeks ago. Ephesians 2, 8 says, "For it is by grace, it is by charis, that you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God." God has given us grace by giving us Jesus Christ, who rescues us from sin and the death it causes through his sacrifice on the cross. We've done nothing to earn this salvation, and we have no power to save ourselves from sin and the death it causes. Jesus gives us grace. It's all grace. And it's how we begin our life in Christ, through grace. Now, let me get a little more theological for just a moment. We come to know this grace, that is, our eyes are opened to Jesus and the salvation he provides through his Holy Spirit. It's his Holy Spirit that actually illuminates our hearts and our minds to what Jesus has done on the cross. The Holy Spirit gives us the grace to know Jesus. This is how Jesus explains it in John chapter 15, verse 26. He says, "When the Advocate comes, who is the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit comes, who I will send to you from the Father, he will testify about me." This is what the Spirit does. Jesus says that it is the Spirit who will begin to open our eyes to Jesus. Our life in Christ begins with the movement of the Holy Spirit's grace. And this is a season of joy and righteousness and peace that we experience in the early days of our life of faith. It is the Holy Spirit's gift and privilege to invite us into the saving grace of Jesus. It's a work of the Spirit. But there is another kind of grace. There is another kind of charis that is given to us as followers of Jesus. Look at verse 7. "But to each one of us, grace, charis, has been given as Christ apportioned it." And Paul here in Ephesians 4 has a particular kind of grace in mind, a kind of charis. Elsewhere in Paul's letters, when we look at 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans chapter 12, we see Paul use the word grace with the Greek word charismata. He adds this conjunction on the word. There's charis and mata. And charismata literally means grace gift. But we've come to call them spiritual gifts, because these gifts are given to us through the Holy Spirit. See, what Paul is saying here in Ephesians 4 is that God gives each one of us, not some of us, but each one of us, every one of us, the Spirit gives us gifts of grace that he wants us to use. Church, I am convinced that the source of our periodic boredom and the source of our periodic apathy, it flows from our ill attention to the gifts of grace that the Holy Spirit has given us, the ones that Paul is referring to here. It's because we haven't embraced and exercised the spiritual gifts that Christ, through his Spirit, has apportioned to each one of us. It's why we grow bored and lifeless and stagnant in our life with Christ. You see, God has uniquely filled each one of you with a specific spirit, I don't just want to say a specific, but has filled you with specific spirit-empowered abilities. And he does it for two reasons. You have been given spiritual gifts first to equip you for the works of service that build up the church. That's the first thing we see in the text. And second, to reveal Jesus to the world around you. Spiritual gifts always do this. They equip God's people for the building up of the church, and they reveal Jesus to the people around us. It's what the spiritual gifts are given for. And we see it in various places, but we see it in the text here in verses 11 to 13. Paul begins in verse 11 here by highlighting the certain gifts that are given to the church in verse 11, and then he goes on to talk about the purpose of those gifts in verses 12 to 13. Follow along in your Bible. It's on the screen too. He says this, "So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ." All of the spiritual gifts that the Holy Spirit gives us are service gifts. God fills you with his Spirit in order to equip you for works of service. And he does it for me, too. Some translations here, they translate the word works of service in verse 12. They translate these works of service as ministry. Maybe some of your translations has that word, that you have been equipped for ministry. Did you know that? God fills you with his Spirit, each and every one of you, to equip you for ministry. Jan, your story is so timely today, right? You were equipped for ministry long before you became a pastor, paid pastor on staff, right? Long before. But the Spirit fills his people with gifts of ministry and service. And you don't need to work at a church to live out those things. Friends, make no mistake about it. Every one of you has been called into the ministry through the Holy Spirit. God's vision for the church is not one person at the top who calls all the shots and holds the keys to ministry. God's vision for the church isn't 20% of the people doing 80% of the work. You heard that? It's often how it works in a church. 20% of the people do 80% of the work. This is not God's vision for the church. His vision for the church is 100% of the people empowered by his own Holy Spirit to uniquely do the work of ministry so that the church would be built up and people everywhere might come to a knowledge of the Son of God. Are you catching the vision of who you are? Of what it means to be the church? Are you catching a vision of why the church is so important in God's plan of redemption? We're not perfect, that's for sure. God gives each one of you, every one of you, ministry grace. It's ministry charis. After saving grace comes ministry grace. He fills you uniquely with God-empowering gifts for ministry. He entrusts you with the privileged calling into ministry, a ministry that will look quite different in your life than it does in the life of the person next to you. You see, the Spirit fills us with different kinds of gifts. We're told that Christ apportions them as he sees fit. The Spirit gives the gifts to the people of God as he sees fit. Some of you have the gift of apostleship. It's named in our text. And you are sent on ahead of the church to prepare the way of God's people to follow. Some of you have been given the gift of prophecy to bring God's living word to bear in a particular circumstance in our world today. And some have been given the gift of preaching or teaching or shepherding, empowered to keep God's people attentive to God's leading. Others have been given gifts of service from the Holy Spirit, gifts of encouragement, of hospitality, of generosity, of healing. I could go on. There is no limit to the kinds of grace gifts the Spirit gives to us, the people who make up the church. See, in our text in Ephesians, we have a few gifts that are named, but they're named as people, right? There's apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, pastors. But there are other lists that speak about the gifts that the Spirit gives us, and they have different qualities that are named, which suggests that no list is exhaustive. There is no limit to the kinds of grace gifts that the Spirit can give to us so that the church would be built up and that Jesus would be revealed to the world. The point is this. You have been given grace gifts straight from God's hand, and He is charging you with using those gifts in the power of His Spirit to join His ministry in the world. It's our calling as the church. And let me be clear about this. God's ministry in the world is not limited to within the local church. I want to be clear about this. God wants to fill the whole earth with the knowledge of Jesus and the effects of His gospel. That's His vision for the church. That's what it means in verse 10. That's what verse 10 is all about, this strange verse that says, He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. What's this about? Paul is saying, the Jesus that descended to earth in the incarnation and ascended back to the Father after the resurrection fills the whole universe. Jesus, the ascended King, fills the whole universe, and that is why He gives spiritual gifts to His people, so that through Spirit-empowered people, the rule and reign of Christ might fill the whole universe. So all of creation would be filled with the knowledge of Jesus and the effects of His gospel. Which means, God calls and empowers some people to be Sunday school teachers who build up the church. But He also calls and empowers people to be ethical business leaders who reveal the character of Christ's rule and reign through their business practices. The gifts of the Spirit are given to build up the church and to reveal Jesus to the world. What does this look like in your life? Do you have a sense of how God has empowered you for works of service that build up His church and reveal Jesus to the people around you? I see them at work all around us, MCA Church, which is often how the gifts are discovered. You remember in past days we would tend to fill out, sometimes we'd fill out these spiritual gift inventories, and they tell you a bit about your spiritual gifts, and they can be helpful to a degree. But when I read the scriptures, when it talks about our spiritual gifts, they often come as a description of what the Holy Spirit is doing within a church. It's not a kind of spiritual checklist that Paul says we go through to figure out what gifts of the Spirit we have. Rather, as we step in and press in faith, open to God's leading, these gifts begin to emerge, and we begin to see some people are teaching, and people are being built up, and some people are being sent out, and they're pioneering new ways to show the kingdom of God to the world beyond the walls. And it's as we step in, as we participate, as we pray with one another, as we gather as the church, these gifts begin to emerge. And they do their work. And I see it happening in our midst as people press in and open their lives to Jesus. I've seen people with the gift of hospitality here at the church. And I don't mean people who open their homes for a dinner party. I mean people who have opened their homes to foster and adoptive relationships. And they need the Spirit of God to lead them in that work, to empower them, to show the love of Christ by inviting the stranger into the center of their home, for that's what Christ did on the cross. He invited us into the center of God's life with Him. And I've seen people with a ministry gift toward the lonely. In fact, I had a conversation with Grace Popoff last week. Grace, I didn't say I was saying this, but last week she shared how God stirs in her to look out for the lonely. And she follows the Spirit's leading by reaching out to people who are lonely. It's her ministry. God's gifted her for it. He's leading her in it by His Spirit. I see people listening to the leading of the Holy Spirit and stepping out in ministry to people with mental illness and refugees and young families and the homeless. I've seen the gifts of encouragement and teaching and service and music and wisdom and healing and prophecy, all of which is being used to build up the church and reveal Jesus to those around us. And I want you to know, church, herein lies my vision for a growing church. My vision for church growth is not that we would grow in attendance or grow in our giving, but rather that you would grow. That you sitting right here today, that you would grow along with me into your Spirit-empowered calling in ministry service. That's my vision for growth for our church. Amen. I don't want to be part of growing an institution. I want to be part of a growing community of faith that is in the power of the Spirit pouring out our lives to see Jesus and His gospel bringing healing and joy to the people around us. That's what I want to be part of. And I know it's what you want to be part of too. And so the question that we are all left with, every one of us, is this: are you participating with God's Spirit in the ministry He has called you to and has equipped you for? Or are you simply bored, apathetic, passive? Are you willing to pray and ask the Holy Spirit how you have been empowered for ministry to join God in His redemptive work in the world? And as you ask Him the question, how have you filled me with your Spirit? How have you gifted me to be part of your work? Do you have the courage to follow when He answers? You know, I toyed with kind of giving us four steps that we should take in order to actually live out this message. I think that would do you a disservice. The application of this message is a room full of people who have turned their lives to Jesus, who have received salvation grace, and who say, Holy Spirit, we want more of you. We want to hear your voice. We want you to lead us in coming fully alive in your Spirit so that we might be part of your redemptive work, the redemptive work of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In Cremona, Italy, there's a museum that holds some of the world's most priceless violins. Some of them are over 300 years old. And at the museum, there's a man named Andrea Mosconi. Mosconi, I feel like I got to do this when I say it. Andrea Mosconi. And for the past 30 years, Andrea has had the task of keeping these priceless instruments in shape. So 6 days a week, he goes into the museum before it opens and he plays each violin for 6 to 7 minutes. He starts with basic music scales and then makes his way to playing Bach and Tchaikovsky and Bartok. Over the course of an hour each day, he plays 8 different instruments that are in the museum. Why does he do it day after day? Because a violin needs to be played in order to stay in shape. The wood gets tired and deformed if it's not played. And the sound it's able to produce, it suffers if it's not played. The same is true of us. Each of us has been given a piece of heaven's song to play. But we grow tired and bored unless we set to the task of playing the music. Friends, may your life in Christ not be like hanging on the wall of some museum that is the church. Rather, may you pick up your instrument and begin to play. and play in tune with the movement of the Holy Spirit so that together God's church would be built up into all that is meant to be, and that all of creation would be filled with the knowledge of Jesus and what he came to save us for. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, I don't want to orchestrate something in this moment, Lord. We just want you. So Jesus, as we respond by coming to the communion table, meet us there by your Holy Spirit. And as we come to the communion table, Lord, may you see it as our response saying, Holy Spirit, I want to be your church. I want to receive the salvation grace that you have, but I want to receive the ministry grace that you're calling me to. And Lord, as we come in faith, may you be faithful. We know you're faithful to answer our prayer and show us where you want us to dig in and build your church and proclaim your name to the world. Amen.